Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's episode is part two of yesterday's episode, No Shame in a Bigger, Sexier Brain with Jim Quick. You know the brain is the largest and most important sex organ, so I figured why not work with one of the world experts on optimal brain performance. Today I host my good friend Jim Quick, a world expert in speed reading and memory improvement who has trained everyone from Will Smith to Elon Musk. He's host of the top training podcast, Quick Brain. Whether you want to tap the power of your most important sexual organ or just tired of your lover not remembering your weekend plans, this episode will teach you how to be more present and how to focus and sharpen your memory. During this part two, Jim walks us through specific steps to activate a healthy brain and techniques to remember anything from a speech to the details of your first date. You'll be able to follow along as we walk through very specific, impactful, and easy-to-learn exercises you can use right away. Because, hey, a big, healthy brain is always sexy. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. Thanks, everyone, for reviewing the show and subscribing on iTunes. I so appreciate it. For checking out our website, signing up for our weekly newsletter, which I know you love our newsletter, and also following me on social media. It's all at Sex with Emily on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. You can also find my video series I've been doing. I've been doing some sex hacks, some sex tips. I'd love to hear what you think about them. You can find them on YouTube, on Instagram, on my site, and tweet me at Sex with Emily or email me, whatever works. I just love hearing from you. Enjoy the show.
Okay, so let's jump into the mechanics. How do you do these things? How do you learn faster? How do you read faster? How do you remember more, right? And so the goal is to be the best version of ourselves. And it starts with our mind, because our mind controls everything, right? Our brain controls our relationships, it creates, you know, our career, our health and everything, our habits, everything. So there are four keys to learning any subject or skill faster. What I want everyone to do right now is to think about a subject or a skill. It could be making love, it could be Mandarin, it could be music, it could be martial arts, it could be marketing, anything that you want to learn faster. There are four keys to learning any subject or skill faster. And I want you to remember this, FAST, F-A-S-T. I'm going to go through this rapid fire. All right, so the F stands for forget. And you're like, Jim, you're a memory expert. Why are you telling me to forget something? One of the reasons people learn slowly is they feel like they know something already. Right. And you know this, right? Mm-hmm. This is coming back to a beginner's mind. In order to learn something faster, you have to empty your cup so you can learn something new, because it's cliche, but it's true. Your mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's opened. All right. So temporarily forget about what you know about a subject. And so, you know, if you're listening to a podcast and it happens to be on one of your, you know, the subjects that mm-hmm. you're talking about, then if someone knows about that subject, temporarily forget about what they know so they can learn something new. The second thing I would forget about are situational things. So the reason why I say this is, like, remember, we can't multitask. So if you're trying to listen to a podcast and do five other things at once, it only gives you about 20% of your resources to be present. People don't learn faster because their attention is split. So you don't want to do that. The third thing I would say to forget, and something you could do, is just if something comes in your mind, just write it down. You know, you think about the dry cleaning, you think about mm-hmm. the client stuff, just write it down, because you don't want to try not to think about it, because what you resist persists. If I tell you don't think of a big pink elephant or a polka dot giraffe, you're going to think about it more, right? So don't try to fight it and just write it down. So forget mm-hmm. about situational things. And the third thing you want to forget are forget about your limitations. And what I mean by that is all behavior is belief driven. And a lot of us have this negative self-talk. We say, oh, I'm getting too old. I have a horrible memory.
But I've never been able to, in the past, remember a name.
Exactly. Right. And so, like, I'm horrible with names. But I always tell people, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them, right? If you argue for your limits, they're yours, right? And so you want to be very careful with your self-talk. You know, I remember I was preparing for a marathon, right? Mm-hmm. And so my last name really is Quick. I didn't change it.
I love it. K-W-I-K. People are like, that's not his name.
Yeah. So I didn't change it. It's my father's name, my grandfather's name. But my life was pretty much planned out. I had to be a runner back in school, which is a lot of pressure when it says Quick right on your shirt. I had to.
Because what if you were the slowest?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then so I have to be careful when I'm driving, because the worst name to have in your driver's license when you get pulled over for speeding is the name Quick, because you're not going to talk your way out of the ticket. And I get to do my mission, which teaches people how to learn faster. But anyway, I was preparing for this marathon, and I was reading this book, and one of the chapters was the psychology, the mental training part of it. And I remember reading this verbatim. It said this, word for word, because I'm a memory expert. It said, your brain is a supercomputer, and your self-talk is a program it will run. So if you tell yourself you're not good at remembering names, you will not remember the name of the next person you meet, because you program your supercomputer not to. And that's why I think it's really important to get rid of your ants, automatic negative thoughts. Kill those ants, automatic negative thoughts.
We all have them.
And we do,
so hard,
right?
To kill them.
And so part of it is just like what you said, either just go on like a little fast, right? You know, negativity fast, or whatever people call it, in terms of the complaining that we do. Adding even a three-letter word, very simple word like yet, also changes the meaning for things. Like, I don't have a great memory yet, right? Or something simple like that.
I still say things like this. Obviously, I don't think they ever truly go away, but I'm so much more conscious of it now. Like, I've been trying that in the office with saying, I'm sorry. I reflexively say, I'm sorry. And it's like about everything. Chicks do this, I think, more than men often. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Like, and so then I started saying, I'm sorry, not sorry. So even when I'm in public, I'm like, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. So now at least I'm noticing it. I think I am saying I'm sorry a lot less, because mm-hmm. I've trained my brain. So whatever your negative thing is, it's okay if you say it, as long as you don't have to publicly take it back, because I'll be in weird places. Like, I'll be with the waiter. I'm like, sorry, not sorry. And they're like, what? I'm like, it doesn't matter. But I think that just recognizing, even if you pick one negative thought, usually there's an umbrella negative thought and there's a lot of other little ones beneath them. But I think mm-hmm. that's how I've gotten rid of them, is by being very clear what they are, not.
Yeah, and I think the beginning of all change is awareness, right? And so even when it comes down to food, right? If you're eating a very clean diet, all of a sudden you eat something that's unhealthy, it just stands out, just like our negative thinking. And so I would be just as concerned with you putting your body, as we are concerned with what mm-hmm. we put in our body, what we put in our brain, in our mind. And so keep it positive, right?
So get rid of the ants.
And so you get rid of the ants.
Automatic negative thoughts.
Automatic negative thoughts. And so you want to forget about these limitations, because it's like, you know, it's like what they talk about with elephants. Like, you see an elephant at a circus and you wonder why it doesn't just pull its way off, in, you know, that rope and that stake in the ground. The reason why is, since that elephant's been in a baby, it's been tied to that same rope, to that same stake in the ground. And in the beginning, it would try to, you know, make its way free. It would pull and pull and pull and struggle. But after a few days, maybe a week or two, it learned that it's helpless. So even when it grew into this incredible, you know, animal mm-hmm. that could pull down the whole circus tent, it still doesn't, because in its mind, it's still that weak. And so that's learned helplessness.
Right. And we learn that too. A lot of times it's negative, you know, things that we've heard from our parents. And that's what right. we carry into our life.
Negative self body image, yeah. or even, you know, when it comes to any of these topics, whether it's sex or scholastics,
right.
it's all the same. We all have these negative beliefs about certain things, and all behavior is belief driven. And so we set the thermostat that we talked about, mm-hmm. you know, earlier, at a certain level, and it just reaches that. And so you want to forget about those things. So F stands for forget. Forget about what you know about a subject, forget about what's going on situationally, and forget about your limitations. The A in FAST stands for active. And this is huge, all right? If you want to be a better learner, if you want a better memory, if you want better focus, you need to be more active. And what I mean by that is, if you are overloaded with too much to learn, too little time, it's because you and I and most of our listeners, we all grew up with a 20th century education. Mm-hmm. You know, 20th century education prepared us for a 20th century world, which at the turn of the century was working out in farms, working in factories. And it really was like an assembly line. It was like one size fits all, sit quietly by yourself, don't talk to your neighbor,
right.
you know, and it was cookie cutter approach to learning. And now we live in a world that's so different right now, right? We live in an age of autonomous electric cars and spaceships that are going right. to Mars. But our vehicle of choice when it comes to learning and education is like a horse and buggy. And that's why we feel so slow.
Change it. I know. Right? I don't know how.
But one of the reasons why is 20th century education was so passive. It was like you're being lectured to and you're supposed to just consume information. But the human brain doesn't learn by consuming. It learns by creating. And so the human mind, it doesn't want to just consume and be lectured to. It wants to create, and because we are all creators. And so how can you be more active? So active would be, for example, taking notes. Active would be asking questions. Active would be sharing this information and teaching other people. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. Learning is not a spectator sport. Learning is not a spectator sport any more than lovemaking is, right? And so it's not a spectator sport.
Well, it depends if you're into that kind of thing, but right?
So you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to get involved to get the benefit. So you want to be active. The S in FAST we already talked about, that state, right? And so if you want to learn faster, all learning is state dependent. I would never want to learn something in a dull, bored state, because you're not going to retain any of it. So whatever you could do to up the emotion, either physically or mentally. And one of the best ways is just monitor your self-talk, right? Or change, or put a smile on your face, or get fascinated. There's a Rumi quote that says, sell your cleverness for bewilderment. Like, when's the last time we felt bewildered about something, you know, playful about something? Mm-hmm. Like, when even play, like, who are the fastest learners? You know, Kids. Children, right? Children can learn music. How fast can they learn a musical instrument? How fast can they learn a second or third language? And I think one of the reasons why, you know, is because they play all the time. But as we grow older, we stop playing. And I don't think because...
I think about that. I was like, what happened to recess? Like, there was a reason why we could... Yeah. I always tell them, I'm like, go walk around the block, Jamie. I say that to her all the time. Like, just, she's sitting at her desk.
And the play
Mark's moving around a lot at the office, but you could walk too. But Jamie, it's just sitting, like, right? But when we had recess as kids, played and you come back in.
Right. So, like, and even as a kid, it's like, you know, you want to go outside and play, and later it's like, oh, do you want to go out and hang out or whatever? Right. We change even the words. And so as we grow older, we stop playing. But I don't think it's that way. I think it's the opposite. I think it's we grow older because we stop playing.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
It's not like we stop playing because we grow older. Maybe we grow older because we stop playing.
I think so too.
And so add play, that's a state of mind. And when you're playful about something, you're more active. And finally, the T in FAST stands for teach. And this is a huge one. If you want to learn something faster, learn with the intent of teaching somebody else. You know, we've all heard that phrase, those who can't do, teach. Mm-hmm. You know, and I never thought it was a negative. Like, those who can't do business, teach business, right? I actually thought it was like, oh, if I can't do something, let me teach it. And then by teaching it, I'll learn how to do it. And so let's say, like, you know, we're going to go through all these brain hacks right now, but let's say you're listening to this and you're thinking about somebody you wish was listening to this podcast right now with you. Like, think about right now, as you're listening to this, one person you think could really benefit from this, right? And so what I would say is, imagine yourself having to give a presentation in front of that person tomorrow. You know, would you pay attention differently? Would you concentrate differently? Would you ask better questions? You know, would you take notes differently? Of course you would. Because here's the thing. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice.
Right.
When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. So now, why not learn with the intent of teaching it? So that's fast. Forget what you know about a subject. A, be active. S, monitor your state. T, learn with the intention of teaching somebody else. So what I'm going to share with you right now, 7 keys for remembering names and faces. I'm going to teach you 7 keys for remembering names and faces.
Fun.
And
okay.
Then I'm going to teach you the 10 things you need to do to unlock what I call your quick brain. Because really, this is not just about mental intelligence. Yes, you'll learn facts and figures and formulas and your friend's name faster. But really what I want people to do is not just be more mentally intelligent. I want them to have mental fitness. People don't know this, but 1/3 of your memory is predetermined by genetics and biology. 1/3 of your memory.
Okay.
2/3 is completely in your control.
So we get to, right. It's not about my family.
Right. So it's genetics. And what I'm talking about, so independent of your age, your background, your career, your education, your financial situation, your gender, your IQ. But let's go to names and faces real fast. Here's a quick brain hack. So when you're out there, because I see you, you're on stage and afterwards you're mobbed with people, right? And they introduce themselves. How do you remember all those names, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to be suave.
Be suave.
So you're looking in the mirror, you're checking your makeup, people are checking, you know, their outfits and everything, and you say to yourself, I'm gonna be suave next time you're out and about, you know, and you wanna remember names. The B is believe. Because if you believe you can or believe you can't, either way, you're right.
Okay.
Right. So
I will believe that I can.
Right. And so you need to be able to believe it to be able to achieve it. And that's really the thing. It's not you'll believe it when you see it. It's you'll see it when you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because success is an inside out process. So that's the B is believe. Get rid of the negative self-talk. The E stands for exercise. Right. And because the bad news, it takes effort. The good news, it doesn't take as much as you think. So I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's going to be worth it because remembering names is so important.
Yes.
So practice makes progress. Now the suave, the S, first thing you do is you say the name. So you just literally repeat the name back to them. So common sense, but it's not common practice. But the reason why you say it is because you want to make sure you observed it correctly. So if a person's name is Ted, you don't want to say it at the end. You don't want to say goodbye, Ed, you know, 30 minutes later. You want to get corrected up front. And because lots of times there's ambient noise and you're at an event or whatever it is, you say the name. The U is you use the name. Now notice you use it, you don't abuse it. Right? Emily, it's so good to see you. Emily, you want to grab lunch? Emily, we want to talk about that. That would be an abuse, right?
Right. Abusive and slightly creepy. Right.
Right. You want to use it 3 or 4 times in the context of the conversation, right? The A is you ask about a person's name, right? And so this is really neat because, you know, you're mentioning, you know, people's names are pretty common, right? Mary, Ted.
Yeah. Or like
Bob,
a lot of men's names, one syllable.
Yeah. And so they're just
weirdly
very,
hard to remember.
And so asking about a person's name, so when you meet, the rare times you meet somebody and their name is unusual, different, maybe 10, 20% mm-hmm. of the time, Afzal, Riediger, you know, you meet somebody with a different kind of name, then you ask about, what can you ask about a person's name?
I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Is your fam for
exactly
the name from?
Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't heard
that
before.
What's the origin or who are you named after? How do you spell it? What does it mean? Like you can, you know, you can ask all these questions. And that's what I would do if somebody's name you haven't heard before.
Okay.
So like, because what's everyone's favorite subject?
Themselves.
Right. Exactly. Right. And so the people are flattered. So I was doing a training.
And sex.
Exactly. I was doing a training at the country's largest life insurance company. About 100 people in the audience. And the training director's name was Nankita. And I was like, wow, it's a beautiful name. How do you spell it? Where's it from? What does it mean? And she paused. I was like, what does it mean? And she said, it means graceful falling waters. And I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, her coworkers kind of made a little noise. And I was like, how long have you worked here? She was like, you know, 5, 6 years. I'm like, with everyone here? She's like, yeah, a lot of good friends in my wedding. I was like, raise your hand if you knew that's what Nankita's name meant. Out of 100 people, how many people raised their hand?
None.
Right? And remember, a name is the sweetest sound to a person's ears. So you ask about a person's name, right? And then finally, the V and the E and suave. The V is visualize the name, right? And so I bet you're better with face. I bet most people are better at faces.
I remember. I just too. I'm right? a little
bit. You go to somebody, you say, you know, I remember your face, but I forgot your name. Mm-hmm. You never go to someone and say the opposite. You never go to someone and say, hey, I remember your name, but I forgot your face.
Right.
That wouldn't
happen.
Make any sense.
Right.
Because you have your visual cortex is larger than the other areas. And so we tend to remember what we see. There's a Chinese proverb that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand. What I hear, I forget. I heard the name, I forgot the name.
Right.
What I see, I remember. I saw the face, I remember the face. And going back to doing and practice exercise,
right.
I understand, right? And so if you tend to remember what you see, then try seeing what you want to remember. So this is really easy to do with those single, like those single syllable names that you mentioned. You know, you mentioned someone named Jim, you just imagine them literally just at the gym. And it sounds so silly in third grade, but again, children learn fast, right? They have imagination. So if a person's name, for example, is Mary, imagine you meet someone Mary, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden you imagine like two lambs underneath her arms and just like, and it makes you laugh.
But even if, right. So I'd be like, oh, Mary, two. And then the next time I saw her, like in a month, I'd be like, that was Mary.
So watch this. So there's a difference between long-term and short-term, right? You want to make sure you get the short-term because my goal with you right now is to overcome what I call the 6-second syndrome. 6-second syndrome is you learn something. Somebody gives you a passcode, right? They give you their phone number. They give you their name. You have 6 seconds to do something with that name. Otherwise, what happens? It's like
gone
in the ether, right? And so you need something to be able to capture it. So if a person's name is Mike, imagine them jumping on the tables and singing on a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, that's very childish. Yes, and that's why children learn so quickly, right? How many people have had their name, you know, made fun of growing up as a kid?
Right, a lot of kids did, yeah.
Everybody does. Or they make, you know, like they make fun of your name. And now, like, David is in therapy because he was called David the David. And
David,
he doesn't even know what a David is. And he's in therapy for like 10 years.
Exactly. Because
he doesn't know.
It sticks with you, right.
Right. And that's how kids remember things. They make fun of, they use their imagination. And so what I would say is it's memorable. So meet someone named David, for example. I meet someone named
Everyone's
David.
Everyone's name is David,
and I
too.
Imagine myself literally just taking a slingshot and just hitting him in the nose. Imagine every time you met a David, you would just put a slingshot. Now, David, why would I use a slingshot? David and what?
Goliath.
David and Goliath. Yeah. So that would remind me of that. And so every single time you're like,
do you ever go, Goliath, David to them?
Right. So you're Truman. Then you would have to go through a totally different training. But here,
I need a different training.
But your true memory knows the difference though, right? You just need something to focus.
So do you do that automatically? Is it automatic for you?
Automatically. But here's the thing. You should do this. First of all, David in the nose with a slingshot, I'm doing this in the privacy of my
of
own
course.
Mind, right? I'm not sharing this with David. And so when I'm at a party, right, you and I see each other at a lot of gatherings and stuff like that. I see Mary holding lambs, I see David like that. I see Bob bobbing for apples. I see Carol, Christmas caroling.
So do you, for these names, you do it. How about Matt? What do you do for Matt? Because every guy's name is Matt.
Right, and so this is the thing.
Is Matt always, like a doormat or
yes.
something? Yes,
and so imagine meeting Matt and you're using their tie for a doormat, right? And so here's the thing, it's always one-to-one. Whenever you meet a Matt, you always use doormat. Whenever you meet, you know, someone named anything. If you meet someone named David, I always use a slingshot. Whenever I meet someone named Mary, Mike, microphone, right? I always use the same thing, right?
Okay.
But you never want, like, so if a person's name is John, you could picture what?
Bathroom.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that works, right?
Okay.
Now, in your mind, so anytime you meet John, that's what you always associate. And then here's the magic, right? Once you know their name, it's only a means to an end. Once you have the end, which is knowing their name, the means disappears. The pictures disappears. It's just meant to get you to focus on the name and the person.
It's good.
And once you know it, you disappear. And what I would recommend, people are like, well, how do I hack that and make it even better? What I would do is I would go, because I know you have listeners all around the world, I would go on, you know, your government's census bureau, find the most used names, like, and, you know, they list all the 100 top most popular baby names and everything for that year or whatever, and just come up with pictures for the top 100. If you did that, for example, in the US, and you just look at all the top, you come up with a picture, like 10 names a day for 10 days, right? And for male names, if you come up with a picture for those names, like James is Jam or whatever, then you have pictures for 60% of the male population in the US. I mean, that's just smart, right?
Right.
For female names, top 100 is like 40% because there's, you know, more creativity and such. But that's working smart. And then every time you meet somebody, you use those pictures. So
that's
visualization.
What you do automatically. That's very helpful.
And then finally, the E in suave stands for end. End, meaning you end the conversation using their name, right? Because if you could walk into a room and meet 20 strangers and leave saying goodbye to every single one of them by name, who do they all remember?
Right. You're the good guy. They don't even know who you
are. Right. Because that's,
like,
that's a standout skill. Because right, before you sell anything, what do you sell?
Yourself.
Yeah.
No, I get it. That is like, that could just have saved me. That is helping me a lot. I see that. I go to conferences. I do things. I'm like, what's their name? And we've all been out with like our dates. Our friends were like, you whisper, like, introduce yourself, because I can't remember their name. Like, how many people have done that? Like, you got to tell your name, right? So, God, if we could solve this problem.
Yeah, I'm saying be better with names. Remember mom. Remember?
How about facts that come in randomly? Like, I have this obsession, but I got to write everything down, and then I forget where I wrote it. But, like, you're saying, like, in relationships, we're saying if someone says...
Okay.
Because one of my big things when it came out in a relationship, I'll give you an example. I was dating someone years ago, and I said I would get the cake for his birthday. And I was on an email with 20 of his friends.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
And I emailed. I said, you guys, I got the cake, because he was my boyfriend. Yeah. And I was like, great. And then I remember the day before, we were going to the beach in San Francisco. We were going to Stinson Beach. If any of my friends are listening about this, you guys all know this incident. It was a very dark time. But we were going, and I'm like, oh, but I got to get like a bikini wax for it, because we're going to the beach. I'm like, oh, but then I got to do this. And it's not because I'm a selfish girlfriend. I thought I'd get the cake after the bikini wax, and then after Charlotte wanted to stop at Walgreens, and then whatever. And then all of a sudden, we're on the road to go to the beach. I'm like, my mind's going, oh, shit, I didn't get the cake. Even though it was on my mind for 2 days, the cake, the cake, the cake. And then we're driving there, and there's no turning back. I'm like, okay, at dinner, I will run and get the cake. So anyway, he's like, my therapist thinks you have ADD. How did you forget the cake? So how do you not forget? And that's a really extreme example. I still feel bad now. If I tell you I'm going to get the cake, you probably need a backup. But I loved him. It wasn't that I was trying to pass. I'm like, I love John.
Yeah, great. I mean, it's just we weren't taught how to do this, right? And because nowadays we don't have to, because we have smart devices and everything. And when you're driving, a lot of times... You can't write things down because you're driving, or you know, you're in the shower, or I don't know why people would call you in the shower, but it's the same kind of thing. You go to the grocery store to buy one thing, you come back with two bags of groceries.
Yeah, not what you needed, right?
You forgot that one thing that you need to do, right? And so we all feel absent-minded. I'll give you a solution for this. I'll give you one tool, like one quick tip.
Let's take a quick break to give a shout out to our amazing sponsor, and we will be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J, and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out, so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
All right, so I'm going to give you a tool, a memory tool right now on how to memorize speeches and facts, like really fast, okay? So this is attributed to Simonides. 2,500 years ago in ancient Greece, they didn't have teleprompters and smart devices and printing presses. They had to have a great memory. And so he was giving a poetry reading. And when he was done, he left the building. Something really tragic happened. The building collapsed and killed everyone that was there. And he was a lone survivor. And as being the lone survivor, he had the responsibility of helping the family members identify their loved ones. But he was able to do so because he remembered where all of them were sitting. And aren't you like this also? Can't you remember like at dinner, like who was sitting to your left, who was sitting to your right? Because human memory, we remember things in locations. We remember things in time and space.
Right.
Because back in, as a hunter-gatherer, you didn't need to memorize passcodes and numbers. You need to remember where things were. You need to remember where's the clean water, where's the fertile soil, where's the enemy tribe, where's the right. crops and everything, right? Because that was your survival. So we store information in space. So watch this. I'm going to take a place that... I could fix your list back when you're going back there in terms of getting a bikini wax and then also the cake and also Charlotte. You remember all this?
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to show you how to be able to memorize your to-do list. I'm also going to show you how to be able to memorize a speech without notes because it's the same exact technique.
I need this so badly.
All right, so this is called the loci memory, okay?
Loci?
Loci. Loci meaning location, meaning we store information in spaces that we're familiar with. So what this technique is basically saying is take your home, a place you're very familiar with, your home, your body, your office, and why not, since you're so familiar with it in your mind, store the information you want around those places. So take the first piece of information and store it in the first place, the second piece of information in the second place, the third piece of information in the third place. By the way, have you ever gotten an argument and go, in the first place this, in the second place that, and third? That's where it came from. That languaging came from that 2,500-year-old memory technique where people used to store information in imaginary places inside their mind. Now, that technique has disappeared, but that languaging,
that's
the linguistics
amazing.
Is still there. Let's do this actually interactively.
Okay. Sorry.
So everybody right now, we're going to go through an exercise. It'll take a couple minutes. So we're going to go through it, a quick visualization exercise. So I train a lot of actors. A lot of the top TED Talks, I train them on how to give a speech without notes. Right? Now, you don't want to know a speech verbatim, right? Because you want it to sound authentic, you want it to sound natural, but you want to know the key points to your speech. Because you know this, right? If you're going through points to your speech and then somebody asks a question, you go to answer them and you come back, you're like, just like, you know, like, where was I?
Right?
But here, you know exactly where you are. So we're going to take 10 points to a speech and we'll put in 10 different places that I'll walk you through. Now, remember I said in the beginning, I said 1/3 of your memory is predetermined by genetics and biology, but 2/3 is in your control. Let me tell you the 10 things that are in that 2/3. There are 10 things that activate what I call your quick brain. All right, so I'm gonna go through them really fast.
Okay.
So if you want a strong memory without even using technique, do these 10 things. So number one is a good brain diet. So there's certain foods that are really good for your brain, certain foods that make you spastic, you can't focus, it makes you, you know, have memory lapses, but there's certain foods that are really good for your brain. Avocados, blueberries, broccoli, coconut oil, eggs, green leafy vegetable, salmon or sardines, you know, turmeric, walnuts, dark chocolate, all good for your brain, right? So good brain diet, you are what you eat, right? Number two, killing ants. We talked about this. The second thing you want to be able to do is get rid of negative thoughts because it's not good for your brain because you're, you know, we talked about it. Here's the thing. When you say, when remember I was saying you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. When you're saying, oh, I'm too old, I don't get this, this is my family, I'm just so forgetful, whatever it is.
I'll never do it. I always failed.
Right. All of that. Your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk.
Yep.
Your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk. So you want to keep it positive. So number two, killing ants. The third key to activating your quick brain is exercise. Right? Because anything good for your heart's going to be good for your head,
right.
Blood flow and everything, oxygen to your brain. So people who move more physically will always, research always shows this, they'll have better focus, mental acuity, they'll do better on memory.
Oh, it's true. When I don't work out before a show or any day, but if I don't work out every day, I truly feel that difference.
Yes.
I used to run marathons. Like I need the intensity of it. I need to move every day.
And that's what exercise is key. The fourth key to unlocking your quick brain are brain nutrients. And that's supplementation. So if you're not getting it from your diet, because if you could do everything and a technique, it might not work because you're short on DHAs, you know, omega-3s, right? Or B vitamins. So supplement. On top of that, number five is a positive peer group, right? Because who you spend time with is who you become, right?
So true. The five people you spend time with.
Yeah, we are the average of the five people we spend time with.
Totally.
Going back to those mirror neurons, because it's even our habits. Like they'll say it's not even like whether or not you smoke or not has less to do with your biological networks and more to do with your social networks. So it's not just your neurological networks, but it's your social networks. It's like, does your friend's friend smoke?
Mm-hmm.
That's more likely to influence
right.
you, right? Because who you spend time with is who you become. But you know this, you know, whether it's dating or it's their social circles, it's just some people they're encouraging, they're challenging, they're kind, you know, they're cheerleading for us. And other people are like energy vampires.
Right. I want to tell people this one I think is very important because if you have a lot of friends or people around you and you're like, why is it so toxic? Or my work environment's toxic. I'm not saying necessarily to get rid of everybody, but it's important to look at because you might be part of the problem too if you're seeing a lot of things come up in your life. Or if you're just people and you might outgrow people, you might keep people around because they're family. But I think that that is something that's so important to really pay attention where you spend your time, who you look up to. That's just something.
Because
that,
those mirror neurons, again, going to, you know, brain is we start imitating them and we start adopting their habits and their beliefs and then their values in terms of what's possible. So it helps to be able to come out of it. There, on a side tangent, there's a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolution that basically says all innovation comes from somebody outside the industry. So whether it's Elon Musk looking at automotive or fashion or technology or something, because if you grew up in an industry, you also have the same limitations and limiting beliefs that come with it. Take somebody from the outside and be like, why aren't we doing it this way? But a lot of it is who you spend time with is who you become. Mm-hmm. So a positive peer group. I think people are basically, you know, some people are batteries included, but there's some people, batteries not included, and they steal your batteries, and that's a challenge. Right. So that's number five is a positive peer group. Right. It's good for your brain. Number six is a clean environment. That's huge, right? Your offices are amazing. I love it here. It's inspiring. The great light here because, you know, you clean, because your external world is a reflection of your internal world. And you know this, like when your desk is cluttered or your laptop is, you know, all like full and everything else, you have a cluttered mind also. But when you clear it out, you have clarity also. So the success is sometimes the outside in process also. That's number six. Number seven is sleep. This is huge, right? Because there's this sleepless epidemic. And the reason why sleep is so important.
Was this sleepless epidemic? Well, it's an epidemic now, but I don't feel like people are always complaining about sleep.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with our digital devices.
How about caffeine? The fact that we never used to drink as much caffeine.
Yeah. You're not supposed to have caffeine past 2 p.m.
But like we used to have one cup in the morning, like 30 years ago, right? And then there's Starbucks and now everyone I
agree.
And it's digital everything, devices.
I think digital. I think the world we live in right now, the amount of electromagnetic fields that are out there, it's just there's so much stuff that are vying for our attention. And so what I would say is sleep is so important because number one, it's where you clear out plaque out of your brain that leads to Alzheimer's and dementia. So that's important. Number two, it's where you consolidate short to long-term memory. So all those all-nighters aren't helping. It's better to get sleep. Third reason is what I talked about before is remembering your dreams because you need, you need to be able to get in that REM stage where you're actually dreaming, but you're not getting it if you're shortchanging your sleep. And so make sleep a priority. Like literally.
Kind of side note, do you remember your dreams every single night?
I don't remember all my dreams, but I certainly remember.
One or two.
Yeah, I do a process. The next episode we're putting out is one on lucid dreaming. And this is where you could actually control your dreams, where you're actually lucid, aware that you're dreaming. And that way you get the physiological benefits of sleep, but you could actually do stuff inside your
mind. That's really cool. That would be on the Quick Brain podcast.
Quick Brain.
KWIK.
Yep. So sleep is so important for all those reasons, you know, for health reasons, for long-term memory, for your dreaming also as well. So, but you have to make sleep a priority, like, because if you're not sleeping, you're not at your best. Like literally you have to sleep your way to the top because that's the goal. Because if you're like, you could do everything else right, but if you're not getting a good night's sleep, how's your mind the next day? How's your focus? How's your memory? You can't solve problems. You can't do anything.
No, you can't.
Right?
It's terrible.
And so, you know, so for me, you know, you want to go to bed at the right time. You want to be able to, you know, in the early, before midnight is always better because you get deeper rest that way. Blackout curtains, because it's not just your eyes. It's also you have photoreceptors on your skin too. So even any little bit ambient lights could throw you off also as well. They put like little like red lights behind like somebody's kneecap and it'll actually affect their sleep.
Wow,
I mean, it's things really.
I'm working on that. Yeah. Blackout curtains in my house.
Blackout curtains are really good. Get rid of the digital devices. That's a big thing. Screens, right? Anything with a screen that's emitting blue light is really bad because it stops the secretion of melatonin, which helps you to relax and go to sleep. So when you're looking at your phones, your iPads.
How about not looking at your phones and iPads before, like an hour before sleep or 2 hours?
A couple hours beforehand. Because, or if you're going to use your computers or something, then use like, you know, a lot of your phone has that dimming devices or flux on your computer, something that gets rid of the blue, or wear the blue blocking.
What about those glasses? Those work? Do you wear them?
They do. I do. So
when do you wear them? You wear them
at night, nighttime, especially if I'm on a digital device because you want to train your brain. And so anything else, and we did four episodes on hacking sleep because it's such an important topic.
Yeah,
when it comes
you've
to
hacked
your brain.
It, Jim. You've come through a lot.
Yeah, I've had
sleeping.
Some serious sleep issues, sleep apnea, and I've tried everything. So like this is make sleep a priority. And so that's number seven. Number eight for Quick Brain is brain protection. So basically protect your brain. It's very fragile. You know, it's just like all the concussions people get, the accidents, they're not wearing their helmets, especially for your kids. Do that.
I had a dream last night that I was on a bike. I just remembered I was going to say, and I was not wearing a helmet. And I was like, it's cool. I'm not going to fall. Anyway, no one cares about other people's dreams. But anyway, I was in LA riding a a bike with... Okay, go ahead.
No.
I'm so glad I thought I remembered my dreams.
There you go. It's just working.
Thank God. Okay, good.
So the so wear a helmet. Number nine is new learnings. And so if you want a quick brain, dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. It was interesting. It was on the cover of Time magazine. They did a study on super nuns. Super nuns. Like they were living. They were just long. It was a longevity study. These women were living 90 and above. And they wanted to find out what was the key to them living longer. And they said half of it had to do with their gratitude and their faith. But the other half had to do is they were lifelong learners. Like literally they were learning every single day. And because of it, it added years to their life. But not only just years to their life, added life to their years.
Yeah.
You know, cause that's what you really want, right? You know, the goal is not to just grow older, it's to maintain your vitality, your cognitive abilities and so on. That's number nine. And finally, number 10, this is a big one. This is stress management.
Oh yeah.
All right. I put that out there because it's the elephant in the room because we don't realize we're like fish in water. We don't see the water
right.
because it's there all the time. We don't realize how much stress we're under on a chronic
like we normalize
stress.
It, right?
Right. Until we're on like a beach somewhere, or getting a massage. We don't realize how much tension we have, you know, in our mind and body because it's just there all the time. And so do you have coping mechanisms to get out of stress? You know, whether it's meditation or it's massage or it's red wine, whatever it is, that sex, whatever gets you
sex and red wine
out of stress, because that is it, that'll kill your cognitive abilities.
Anxiety is one of the biggest killers of our sex drive, but the more sex you have, the less stress you're going to feel, guys. So just think about that choice. So when you're thinking about not having sex right now because you're too anxious, when you have sex, you would be less anxious.
Right.
Okay.
I love it. So those are the 10 keys for unlocking your quick brain. So imagine this, combining everything we talked about, the power of teaching other people, giving a speech without notes. Imagine now you had to give us a TED Talk, right?
Which is on my bucket list.
Right. Imagine you had to give a TED Talk specifically, though, on the 10 things we just learned, right? Because most people right now, they're listening to this in the car, they're at the gym, they're like, oh, I wish I would have wrote that down. Now, the reason why I went through this is
don't
not...
Don't quiz me.
Now, notice... Yeah,
don't quiz me like Bill Clinton's grandpa right now, because I'd be so...
So that was really good. So the whole thing here is people, it's in one ear, out the other. It's just like, you know, our significant others, we're dating, everything else. You're like, oh, did you take out the garbage? Like, you know,
people, how do you not remember my friend Jenny? I told you about her all the time, right?
All the time. And they posted on, like, we have this private Facebook group for our podcast. People post questions. And a lot of women will say, like, how can I trust a guy who can't remember to, you know, to take out the garbage? How can I trust him with something actually important or whatever it is? And so that's why memory is so important. But here's the thing. There is no such thing as a good or bad memory. There is no such thing as a good or bad memory. There's just a trained memory and an untrained memory.
And I think most people are untrained. Right. I'm not even trained. You're learning, teaching me a lot.
And here's the thing.
Right,
a memory is not even something you have. A memory is not something you have. It's something you do. It's like this. You don't have focus. You do focus. You don't have creativity, you do creativity. You don't have a memory, you do memory. Just like when it comes to love, like you don't have love, you do love because it's an actual process, mm-hmm. right?
It is a process.
And so
lust is not what we're talking about. That's not a process. Love is a process.
So when you take it and turn it into a process, it becomes something that's living and it becomes a recipe. So you could duplicate that. So it's like when people get like stuck and they're like, oh, I have writer's block or I'm just not feeling creative or motivated. You don't have motivation, you do motivation. And so that's why I love, when it comes to learning, it's a verb and it's not a noun, mm-hmm. right? And so the goal here is to turn things into processes and step-by-step strategies. So let's come up with a process for memorizing a speech. Let's say you need to remember these 10 keys that we mm-hmm. just talked about. Most people don't remember it because they are working out or they are listening to this. A lot of people like listen to you probably when they're taking a bath, right?
Yeah, or when they're at work, which always amazes me. I'm like, is that a really good day or is it a distracted day?
Exactly. And they can't write it down. So how would they retain this information? Yeah. So this is, we'll teach you what you asked for, how to remember facts and also how to give a speech without using notes, right? And so this is the location method that we talked about, you know, this Greek orator 2,500 years ago would store information different places. So this is what you do. I'll walk you through, because everybody would normally use their home, but since we're doing this all together, let's use my office.
Okay.
So we have an office, I'm here in LA, but we also have an office in Westchester, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, right? Mm-hmm. North of the city. So I want to imagine everybody do this, if it's safe for you to do, close your eyes mm-hmm. if you can. If not, then keep your eyes open, obviously, if you're driving or something
like
that.
Don't close your eyes if you're driving.
Yeah. If you're on a treadmill, do not close your eyes. But just imagine that you're on a plane and you're going to Westchester Airport. You land, and even if you can't imagine this, imagine you can imagine this, okay? You land in the airport, car picks you up, you're in the back seat, you go to my office, and it's a big glass building surrounded by trees, all right? And when you get out, I'm going to name 10 places in my office, and I'm going to put the 10 keys for unlocking your quick brain, one in each place. So you get out in the first place, the parking lot. So, and just repeat after me as you're listening to this. What's the first place? It's the parking lot. Good. And that's your verbal memory. And when you get out in the parking lot, I want you to imagine the first brain tip, which is a good brain diet. So I want you to imagine all the brain foods waiting for you in a buffet there, and you get into a big, like, brain food fight, and you're throwing avocados and salmon and, you know, like coconut
oil. I just pictured a bunch of broccoli and avocados. Like, when I pull up, it's a green parking lot.
Perfect. Whatever you picture, and everyone can do this.
Yeah, you guys can do your own. I don't want to feed you.
So perfect. So every note, no, it's great. So you have lots of different, you know, creative answers here. So just, you have the good brain diet waiting for you. You walk over to the second place. It's a bridge. It goes over, like, we have like this waterfall, creates this moat around the building. But the second place is a bridge. So the second place is what?
Bridge.
It's the bridge. And I want you to imagine, as you're crossing the bridge, the second brain tip, killing ants. So I just want to imagine, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm stepping on those negative, automatic negative thoughts,
right? And you're stepping on the ants. You would never do that.
No.
But it's going to help your brain. Mm-hmm. You get into the building, and you get into the third place, which is the elevator. So everybody, not just Emily, what's the third place?
Elevator,
right? And you get into elevator, and the third place, exercise. So I just imagine your trainer is in the elevator with you. You're doing your hot yoga. You're doing your CrossFit, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're lifting weights, calisthenics.
I'm jumping on it to make sure. Okay, you do
great.
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, just imagine
sure
that exercise. You remember exercise number three.
Uh-huh,
You get out of the elevator. Fourth place is the hallway. What's the fourth place?
Hallway.
And you want to remember brain vitamins. So I want you to imagine just all these bottles of brain vitamins coming at you, and you're like Lara Croft or Indiana Jones, just jumping over the brain vitamins. So ginkgo biloba, vitamin B, you know, you have your mm-hmm. your DHAs, your omega-3s, you're jumping over brain vitamins. Mm-hmm. Okay, you open a door to my office. Immediately to the left is the fifth place, which is the closet. What's the fifth place?
Closet.
And inside the closet are your positive peer group, your happy friends. I want you to imagine all your happy friends are in the closet, all right? And then you're like, see all your friends. All your happy friends, they're celebrating in the closet. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you leave the closet. You go to the sixth place is the receptionist. What's the sixth place?
Receptionist.
And the receptionist is clean the environment, mopping, like vacuuming, mm-hmm. bleaching everything, clean environment. Everything has its place.
Clean, yep.
Behind the receptionist is the seventh place, is the fish tank. Fish tank. Very good. And the fish, they're sleeping. That's to remind you, get sleep. So I want you to see Nemo, Dory.
They look dead, but they're just sleeping.
They're sleeping. Thank God. The fishes are sleeping.
No dead fish in your office. Just
yeah, Nemo's
fish.
In their he's in pajamas, in bunk bed, snoring. Just build it out, right?
Okay.
And notice, like, you don't have to repeat it. Like, traditional learning in school was like repetition.
Right.
It was like over and over. You had to repeat something 50 times. You just see this once, you'll remember it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then from it, because you're using the power of your imagination. The eighth place is the door. So what's eighth place? The door to the classroom. Mm-hmm. And the door is locked. So you put on a helmet. That reminds you to wear a helmet, brain protection, protect your brain. Mm-hmm. And you headbutt the door open and it splinters and shatters open. You would never do that, but it reminds you of brain protection. The ninth place is the whiteboard. What's the ninth place?
The whiteboard.
Great. And I'm there. And I'm writing the ninth tip, which is new learning. So I'm literally writing the words new learnings on the whiteboard mm-hmm. in your favorite color marker. What's your favorite color? Say it out loud.
Green.
Great. And then whatever your favorite color listening,
you
that's the color.
You guys can choose your own.
Right? New learnings, right?
New learnings.
And then finally, the last thing is on the side of the classroom, I have all these bonsai trees, you know, these Japanese plants. And so bonsai tree is number 10. I want you to remember
stress management. Oh,
so
God.
Imagine...
Okay.
Imagine you're meditating. Imagine you're getting your best massage on the bonsai trees. The best massage of your life on the bonsai trees, right? Whatever gives you, gets you out of stress.
Okay.
Lovemaking on the bonsai trees though, all right? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, everybody, you are on stage. You're on the stage of your life. And you need to remember, what were the 10 keys for unlocking my quick brain? Just walk around my office. So what was the first place in my office?
Parking lot.
And what was there?
Eating healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy food. Brain food.
All the brain food. That's perfect. Number one. There we go.
That's so good. This is my next speech.
Good. The second place is you walked over the what?
Bridge.
The bridge. And what did you do?
Negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Automatic negative thoughts.
Kill those ants. Automatic negative thoughts. Very good. In order too. The third place is you got into the building. You get into the what?
Elevator.
And what do you do in the elevator?
Exercise.
Third brain keys is as your body moves, your brain grooves. Exercise. Mm-hmm. You get into the fourth place out of the elevator is the what?
Receptionist. Hmm? No, the receptionist? No. Sorry, hallway.
Oh, nice.
And I'm jumping over the supplements for my brain.
Yeah, brain supplements. That's number four. And then you open the door to the classroom. Immediately to your left is the what?
Is that the receptionist cleaning? No?
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I think to the left of the...
When you walked into the office, immediately to your left...
What was the whiteboard? But you're going out of order because I think the receptionist was before that.
I don't know.
Well, I think it was. Not to...
No.
Receptionist... Maybe not, but I feel like she was outside her office.
What was before the receptionist?
So the hallway. The hallway, I jumped over brain vitamins.
You opened the hall and you went into the
classroom. But you know your office better than I do.
Yeah, that's true.
So I walk into the classroom and then there was the whiteboard that says keep learning or something.
Yeah, it does. It says all that. All right, let's...
Keep learning, but then the receptionist, she cleans.
What was after the...
She's cleaning my environment. Oh, the closet.
All right, great. So number five.
All the number five, happy, supportive friends.
Right. Number five is your positive, supportive friends. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yay.
And then from there, closet is who? Who's after closet?
Was that there's a receptionist?
Yeah, receptionist.
Oh, the receptionist.
And the receptionist with what?
She is cleaning, making sure there's a clean environment.
Yeah, clean environment. That's good for your brain. That's number six. Wow, we're more than halfway through at 60%.
This is the most
that's amazing.
I've ever remembered.
Behind the receptionist is what? What's right behind the receptionist?
There is, this isn't the bonsai trees because those are outside, but there's something else behind her. Oh, fish, dead fish.
Yes, you have the fish tank. Very good. What are the fish doing, Emily?
They're dead. They're sleeping.
They're sleeping.
They're not dead. You would not have dead fish, but they're just sleeping. They're taking a nap.
And it's just to remind you to get sleep.
To get good sleep.
Get,
so important.
Yes. And sex helps with sleep.
Sex helps with sleep.
It does. Okay, yeah. So that's number seven. After that, you get to the eighth place, which is the door. And how did you get inside the door?
I kicked it open. No. Oh, with my helmet.
Yes,
to protect
exactly.
My brain.
Yes, you kicked it open with your helmet. Awesome.
This is so fun.
Yeah, so that's brain protection. And then from there, in front of the, we're almost done. Number nine is right in front of the room is the ninth place is what? What's right in front of the room?
Is it the bonsai tree? I got a little.
I know, because we're at the tail end, and I was saying in terms of.
The ninth was.
You said it already.
The bonsai tree? The whiteboard.
Yeah, whiteboard.
Oh, the whiteboard was learn. Always
keep. Yeah, keep learning.
Always be learning.
All the new learning. So that's number nine. And so nine is always keep learning. And finally, number 10 was the.
The tree.
The bonsai tree.
Bonsai tree. What are you doing? Management for stress and anxiety.
Yes. Very nice.
I did it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Okay, right. This is good.
Now, by the way, so that's how you memorize a speech. You want to capture the keywords because you know your stuff. You just need the keyword to prompt you.
It's true.
Of what you need to remember. So you take it, turn it into a picture because we think in pictures. Remember, you turn names into pictures. It's the ultimate tip.
I love that.
TIP, turn into picture because we remember what we see, and then you put it in the place, and then you remember because then your home becomes a filing system for the things you want to remember. So you use your home. You go from the kitchen to the dining room to you go room to room. I mean, unless you're in New York in your studio apartment, like you just go room
or
room.
Your body. You said you could use
your body.
Left hand,
so
right
for example,
hand. Right.
Perfect example. Right. Let's say we have this Sex with Emily party, for a barbecue at your home. Right? And you're really excited about it. And you call Lark. You're like, can you please pick up these 10 things? Or mm-hmm. No, she calls you, but you're driving, right? And you can't write it down. Or you're in the shower, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can't write it. I don't know why you'd be picking up your phone in the shower. But we're somewhere where you can't write it down. And she's like, here are the 10 things we need for the barbecue, for our party, for our team party, for our listener party, our fans. And can you pick up these 10 things? So instead of putting it in your home or my office, put it on your body. So 10 places on your body. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So one is the top of your head. So just do this with me. Just touch the top. Mm-hmm. All right. So watch this. Really fast.
Okay.
We're going to take 10 places on your body to help you remember your grocery list.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. And this happens all the time in relationships. Hey, can you go to the store and buy this?
Yeah.
Right? Number one is top.
Uh-huh.
So do this. One is top. Two is nose.
Nose.
Three is mouth. Everyone do this with
mouth.
Me also as
this
well.
This is fun.
Three is mouth. Four are your ears.
Ears.
Five is your larynx.
Larynx.
Right? That larynx is your throat.
Uh-huh.
Right? Your voice box, but your throat. That's five. Six are your shoulders.
Shoulders.
Seven, collar.
Collar.
Eight are your fingers.
Fingers.
We've got your fingers. Nine is your belly.
Belly.
And 10 is your seat.
Seat.
Right? Your rear
the
end.
Butt.
Right? So let's do this again. Everyone listening, all this. Let's do this also. One is top.
Top.
Two is nose.
Nose.
Three is your mouth.
Mouth.
4 are your
ears.
5 is your larynx.
Larynx.
Your throat larynx. Area. 6 are your
shoulders.
7 is your collar.
Collar.
8 are your
fingers.
9 is your
stomach.
Yep. Your belly.
Belly.
And then finally 10 is your
butt.
Seat.
Ass. Seat.
Right? Right. Now watch this. Now, let's say there are 10 things you need to buy for your party. We're going to take each one and really quickly put the 10 foods on your 10 places.
Okay.
Watch this. Just in your imagination, mm-hmm. not in reality, right? So, Lark calls you up saying, hey, the first thing you need to get are, these are all good for your brain.
Okay.
All right. So, these are my top 10 brain foods.
Okay.
Number one are avocados.
Okay.
So, you put it on your first place. So what could you imagine?
Avocado, like avocados in my head.
Right. Everybody imagine making guacamole on the top of your head.
Okay.
Everybody do that. And you can't just listen to us doing it. You have to do it.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, no, I pictured it. I'm driving and Lark's like, avocados. Yeah. And
I'm talking to our listeners
here. Oh, listeners.
So guacamole on the top of your head. Mm-hmm. Good. Second place on your body is your what?
Nose.
Is your nose. And I want you to imagine the second brain food are blueberries. So blueberries coming out of your what?
Nose.
Your nose. You're just blowing blueberries out of your nose. I call mm-hmm. them brain berries, but they're really good for you. But you see it, you feel it, and you smell it. The more senses you use, the more you're going to remember. 2 is blueberries. All right, mm-hmm. everyone do that. Third place is your what?
Mouth.
I want you to imagine a big stalk of broccoli. Mm-hmm. Broccoli is good for your brain. So broccoli, big, but not just you chewing broccoli, because that's, you might have done that last night for
like
dinner.
Like a big, like a broccoli. Right. Right.
Picture
like
that now.
Phallic the fourth piece of stalk of broccoli.
Number 4 are your what?
Ears.
Coconut oil. Imagine coconut oils. So it's good for your brain. Uh-huh. Cleaning your ears with coconut oil. Mm-hmm. Or coconuts coming
coconut
out of your...
Coconut's good for everything.
Yeah, coconuts coming out of your ears.
Okay.
All right, number 5 is your what?
I can't hear you. There's a coconut in here. Your larynx.
Larynx, your throat. And I want you to imagine eggs. So eggs are really good for your brain. If your diet allows, you're eating eggs.
Okay.
You have your omegas and everything. So instead of an Adam's apple, imagine you have an egg there instead.
I got it.
All right, eggs. Maybe it's scrambled or it's sunny side up, whatever, eggs in your throat.
Pick it, yeah.
All right, we're halfway through,
Adam's
by
apple,
the way.
Eggs,
by okay. the way, we're halfway through. What was number one?
Guacamole, avocado.
Yeah, what was the second food?
Blueberries.
Very nice. What was the third?
A phallic stalk of broccoli.
Number 4, what was it?
Coconut oil.
And number 5?
Eggs.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay,
so
we're halfway through. We're not done yet. 6 on your body Jeez. Is what?
Shoulders.
Shoulders. I want you to imagine green leafy vegetables. So imagine collard greens, mm-hmm. spinach, kale on your shoulders.
Yeah, I pictured just like a nice plume of
okay.
leaves.
So just on my shoulder. See it, feel it. Everybody do the same thing. Great. Okay. Number 7 is your what?
Your throat, chest. What did you say it was? You called
number 7 is your collar.
Collar.
Right? Your collarbone. I want you to imagine salmon. So that's the 7th brain food, salmon. Mm-hmm. So maybe a necklace made out of what?
Salmon.
Salmon. Wild salmon, good for your brain.
Yeah,
right?
Pink I like, but this fishy. Yeah,
but imagine the smell.
I got it. And smell, yeah.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you don't have to repeat. Notice we're not repeating it over and over again.
No, we're just
saying. We're just seeing it once.
I see it.
Because we use your imagination.
This is so cool.
You got mm-hmm. it. That's 7. 8 are your what?
Fingers.
Fingers. 8th brain food. I just added this, is turmeric. I mean, you know what turmeric is? You mm-hmm. cook with turmeric. It's yep. like that powder. It's what color
yeah.
is it?
It's brownish orange.
Yeah, like oranges.
Orange.
And it gets all over your fingers.
Uh-huh.
Imagine
Sticky,
that. But it's really good for your brain. I make like a turmeric tea every morning. Like it's like a golden milk with almond milk and turmeric. Ooh. You put some pepper in it. It makes it very absorbable. It lowers inflammation in your body. And it's really good for your brain. So turmeric okay. all over your fingers. Imagine uh-huh. you can't get it off of your fingers.
No.
All right, that's 8. Number 9 is your belly. What's and the 9th brain food are walnuts. Very good for your brain. So walnuts. By the way, notice certain foods actually look like the organ it's supporting. So like a walnut looks like what?
Like your brain.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. A carrot, if you cut a carrot in half and you look at it, what does it look like? It looks like a human eye, right? So there's a signature, that sign. Nature's really cool, right? A signature.
It is.
Like a sign of nature.
Okay, yes.
You know?
Okay, so
walnuts. So it's whatever the food, like an avocado.
I get it. Because just overall, all these foods are good for you.
In general. But I'm just saying there's certain foods that are really good for the organ. Like an avocado, it looks maybe like a female reproductive area. Like it's actually really good for it also as well. So a cucumber could be good for, you know, your whatever.
Right.
So that's number 9, walnuts. So imagine walnuts coming out of your belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine.
Now, here's the thing: people just say, "Oh yeah, but if they don't picture
really
it, they're not gonna remember."
It.
So walnuts literally coming out of your belly button, and you're eating them like that.
Yep.
Okay.
I got
it. And finally, number 10, what's the 10th part of your body?
Your seat, if
your
you will.
Seat, your seat, your rear end, your butt. Okay. Yeah. And I want you to imagine dark chocolate.
Mm.
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what people are picturing.
Right. That's good.
Whatever everyone's picturing.
Everything go with on my that. Seat coming out is brown. Got it. Okay. Got it.
And that's dark chocolate, which you're is really good for your
already.
Brain.
Okay.
That's what you're thinking is dark okay. chocolate's really good for your brain. Basically, because it puts you in a good mood. Anything, you know, it's good for your mood. It's going to yeah. be good for your good.
True. Okay.
Great. Now, you arrived at a health food store, right? And Lark gave you this, like these 10.
Okay, but when I'm
but watch this.
Okay, you want me to do it.
But you
okay.
can do this, right?
I can do it.
You can do this. Now you're in aisle one and you don't even have your grocery list. Because even if you write your grocery list in triplicates, you probably left it back at home.
I did. How'd you know? I do that all the time.
And now you have your list right on your body.
Right.
And so you're in aisle one and you just, what's the first thing you need to buy at the
avocados.
Grocery store? Avocados. And everyone should be doing this with us. Number two is, what's
blueberries.
The second? Very nice. Brainberries, blueberries. Number three, what's the third thing you need for your party?
A phallic stock of broccoli.
Good memory. Number four.
Coconut oil. Ears.
Coconut oil, your ears. Number five. What are you replacing? It's not an Adam's apple.
Oh, an egg.
Very good. That's halfway through. Number six.
Leafy greens on
good.
Your shoulders.
Good, green leafy veg. Yeah, on your, right on your shoulders. Yeah. Number seven is your collar. What's on your collar?
This weird salmon necklace.
Salmon, like yeah. wild salmon, very good
no
for your brain.
No one wants to talk to
your
me when I wear that.
Memory, wow. Yeah. Number eight, what's on, what's all?
Turmeric.
Fingers on your, wow, that's very good, even faster than I could. Number nine.
I'm a quick learner.
You are a quick
but
learner.
But I just, oh,
yeah.
That's, I didn't mean to steal your quick, whole brand.
Quicklearning.com, KWIK. Nine is your what?
I am. Okay, your stomach.
Yeah,
your
and what's coming
walnuts.
Out? Of walnuts, very good. And finally, number 10.
Your chocolate, your poop, dark chocolate.
Very good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, yeah,
nice. Okay.
This is amazing.
But when you want to see something more amazing, watch this. Watch how amazing your brain is now. Because honestly, how long would it take you to remember 10 things perfectly?
But if Lark was like avocados, like, wait. Let me picture
it. But because it takes more time to say everything because, you
right.
know, we're,
no,
we're doing
true,
with
everything. That's true.
But watch how amazing your brain really is. Can you do it backwards?
I could.
Can you start with your butt and go backwards?
Yeah, I could.
All right, tell me. What's this? Number 10.
Dark chocolate. Dark chocolate. Walnuts.
And walnuts.
Walnuts, turmeric.
Very good.
Yeah, salmon necklace, that weird necklace.
Yes, that's very good.
Then I've got leafy greens
Green
on my
leafy
shoulders.
Greens, very
and
good.
And I've got eggs on my...
Yes, and she's not... You're not even writing this down.
I'm not.
There's like
I've
witnesses
got eggs,
in the room, everything.
I've got coconut oil in my ears.
Yes.
A stalk of broccoli.
Uh-huh.
Blueberries.
And finally,
avocado.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's badass. Oh, but let me show you. Watch this. Do you remember the 10 brain tips backwards? Do you remember like going back from all the way from
your office?
The parking lot to
that
the bonsai
part,
trees? Can you
I
do
could,
that backwards?
I could do
what,
that.
What's on the
bottom? There was some disagreement okay. there. I do think
let's,
that
let's
your,
do this. Let's try
I
this.
Do think your receptionist going, was cleaning okay. before the whiteboard.
Okay.
But
so
yes.
let's start with bonsai
can we
trees.
Can have some loose
okay.
looseness here? Yeah.
Let's see if we can remember this backwards.
Okay.
Number 10 is the bonsai tree. What's
okay,
the bonsai
that
tree?
Was dealing with anxiety, managing stress.
Yes,
anxiety.
Stress management. And then number 9 on the whiteboard.
Keep learning.
Yeah, keep learning. Number 8 was the door.
The door was all my friends. No, that was a closet. The door.
Good. Very
yeah,
good.
I know.
Very
the closet.
Good.
My friends are in the closet. The door was hitting my head against it. Protecting my brain.
Yeah, protecting your brain. That's number 8. That's your TED talk on.
Okay.
You know, like, and number 7 is right before that was what?
I think it was that receptionist that never cleans. Or she should be cleaning.
No, it's right between the two.
Oh, stepping over the brain foods in the hallway. No.
Okay, now you're not. You're just jumping everywhere.
Okay, wait.
Well, right behind the right.
Oh, the dead fish.
Yes, and what's it?
Sleeping fish.
Sleeping fish.
Sleeping
sleep.
Fish. Sleep is really important.
Sleep is very important.
I always forget the
damn
fish.
Before the fish.
Right before the fish was
the,
that would have been the
receptionist, and she was
cleaning my
environment.
So it's
good.
Very clean.
And what was right before the clean environment?
The elevator. Okay, jumping in the elevator, the friends in the closet.
Yeah,
the
closet.
Friends in the closet.
You had the closet right before because you're in
the
my
closet,
office.
Yeah,
and that reminds you of positive friends.
But
and
I love
then
my friends supporting
you do.
Me.
So do
They're
I.
Such good people.
They are really good people.
I wish I didn't only have sex toys in this closet.
Mm.
I wish my friends were always in this closet.
Maybe that's why they're so happy.
That's
so
true.
Right before that, you have the hallway.
I have the hallway, and that's where I'm jumping over all my brain supplements.
Okay, brain vitamins.
Brain
good.
Vitamins.
And then right before the hallway was what?
The elevator.
Elevator. And what are you doing in the elevator?
Exercising.
Exercise. That's number 3. Before the elevator
parking
was what?
Lot? Was I in the parking lot? No. The bridge.
The bridge.
Stamping out those goddamn ants.
Damn ants.
That have been plaguing me my entire goddamn life.
Automatic negative thoughts.
Stamping those.
Yes.
Done. They're dead.
And what was right
to me.
They are dead to you.
I hope they're dead to you and everyone who works for you.
They are.
Including the fish.
They are.
But I hope they're not dead. Just sleeping. The fish.
Just sleeping like the fish. Sleeping with the fishes. So then the number one, the first place right before the bridge is what?
Avocados.
You're actually right. Is the good brain, is all the brain
healthy
foods.
Food,
right,
yeah.
That's very good. Okay.
Okay. Wow. This is a good time.
So everybody could do this. You could use your body. You could use your office. You could use your home and really create a list for anything. You know, our life, it's not about like the haves and haves not. It's really now more, you know, those who know and those who don't know. That's why I find this podcast so valuable. That's why I find reading so valuable. You know, people committing themselves to constant education, lifelong learning. And we talked about how it adds years to your life and life to their years. But it's so important to integrate every single day.
It's true. And you're never done learning. There's a lot of limiting beliefs I have around, I think, my ability to focus and to learn and to read and there's no time. I also know that I can do anything, right?
And just so it's notice like these what weird you just did. Like, remember, like if I told you before we started this conversation that you would be able to memorize a grocery list forwards and backwards after hearing it once, or memorize like a TED talk, like 10, you know, talking points.
I still don't
on
get
like
how I'm going to do this with my TED talk, because that seems like that's so many more. I'll have to practice it enough.
Yeah, literally going through and coming up with 10 or 15 talking points and turning each one into a picture. Like even when you had your to-dos, like remember you're telling that story, you know, like earlier about all the things that you want to be able to do, and you want to get a bikini wax and you want to be able to get the cake, you know, and then
pick
also Charlotte.
Yep.
But imagine that you just using your body. Imagine literally bikinis on your what? On your top of your head, right? Or cake being smashed on your nose or Charlotte, you know.
But this also takes time. I would have had to stop. Or
but you know what takes time? You know what takes time is like rehearsing
up
things
with your boyfriend
over and over again.
The cake.
Right. Repeating things 50 times to yourself or forgetting where you put things or forgetting a name. Like, so, you know, the bad news is it takes a little bit of effort, but the good news is not as much as people think, you know? And so there's no magic pill, like no magic memory pill, but there is a magic process.
Right.
And that's what we're doing is we're taking, just like with what you do with love and communication and sex and relationships, you turn it into a process, right? So it's not like, oh, I hope I have romance, or I hope I have an orgasm,
or I
hope I have
the best version of yourself.
Right. And you turn it into a process. So people don't have to feel bad if they're not getting a result in their body or in their relationship, because it becomes a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here to do. And when you're talking about even the negative self-talk, you know, I believe our life is like an egg. That if an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's broken by an inside force, life begins. And all great things begin on the inside. And I believe everyone who's listening to this, you have greatness inside of you. You have genius inside of you. And now is the time to let it out.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim Quick. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for all of this. This is amazing. Very inspired by you and by everything you have to say. So everyone should check out Jim Quick. Jim Quick, KWIK.
Podcast.
Check out your podcast. Take some of your courses, all your things.
No, I mean, honestly, if everyone just like the best way of people doing this is what I would love right now is everyone goes on social media, take a screenshot of this episode, post it on social media, tag Emily, tag myself, and tag your big, actually share with us your big aha.
Yeah.
That would be actually huge.
I feel like, because my whole, people sitting in the room right now, and I feel like everyone's really moved by this. So
I'm saying like, that's why I take a screenshot of this episode, share it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, tag us both and post your big takeaway. Remember I talked about one of the keys to learning faster is teaching. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. Share it on social media, share your big aha, and then, or your big question, because that's,
yeah,
I would love
we'll
to
answer it.
Big question.
That's good. You're so
very
good.
Because I think questions are the answer. So I'd be curious, like, what was your big, like, you know, kind of your big quickening?
Right.
Like what just like, what activated your orgasmic brain of you? And, you know, what really like, because that really, like, if you're going to stimulate any part of someone's body, like I would start with the brain. But so
brain is the largest sex organ, and the brain has to be healthy. It is the way we
but
think.
It doesn't come with an owner's manual.
No, nothing comes with an owner's manual.
And it's not user friendly. So
no.
I hope that this kind of gave some people some perspective.
It does give perspective, because I think a lot of us have so many limiting beliefs about what's possible for us. And I think that the way you teach and the way you talk and the way you continue to learn yourself just really inspires people to realize the life and the brain they're living in and the way they've experienced themselves is not how they have to.
Exactly. If people got a little bit of growth here, just focus on that, because how you do anything is how you do everything, and success breeds success. And really, when it comes down to it, if you really want to be fulfilled, it just comes down, for me, it comes down to two things. What I love about the show is you help people really understand themselves, understand their body, understand their mind, understand the relationship, because you need to have the courage to know yourself. And most people don't have the courage to do that. So if you're listening to this still, you know, we applaud you because you're going deep, right? And so have the courage to know yourself. But then also once you know yourself, you know, you need the courage also to be yourself.
It's true.
Right? So you have the curiosity to know yourself and the courage to be that person. And then remember, the life you live are the lessons that you teach. So yeah, I would love to continue this more in another conversation. And then just search my name on your phone's podcast app and just enjoy
Jim
those.
Jim Quick. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll all do it. I love your podcast. They're perfect for me because they're short, 10, and you get so much. They're so good, Jim. Thank you, Jim, for being here. This is really helpful. I can't wait to hear what everyone thinks of this episode. Yeah, I love when y'all follow us on social media. For me, it's all at Sex with Emily across the board, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those things. And you're at Jim Quick.
Jim Quick, K-W-I-K.
That's got it. Okay, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jim.